Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio, and welcome to our audience with North State Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. We do have San Joaquin County's Director of Public Health back on the line with us, Zeanna Blackwell Rodriguez. Ms. Blackwell Rodriguez, thanks. I'm sorry we had to call you back, but I appreciate you joining us again. Could I explore with you where your office is in terms of a specific stay-at-home or sheltering directive for San Joaquin County?
Sure, absolutely. So we have not officially, as a county, issued a formal order per se, but all of our messaging is please stay home, do social distancing if you must go out, and only go out for critical needs such as groceries, medication, and access to health care.
Do you feel that there's a statewide message on this that the county falls under?
I think that all of the guidance that is coming from the state is intentionally somewhat loose to give the communities and the counties the flexibility to do what is right for the current state in their particular area.
The mayor just said, now with two deaths in the county and the numbers rising, that perhaps this is something that should be considered. What are you looking at in terms of criteria for when to take that next step?
So I think that first and foremost, that as a public health entity, we need to stay based in science and not submit to or succumb to politics or panic. And so we are in constant communication with all of the leadership in the county and the cities, trying to determine what is best during our current situation. It is not a public health per se situation, I would say, that every city also has the ability to act on their own, but we are looking constantly at the situation and communicating as needed. I also like to point out that when you're looking at a county versus a city, a lot of the services that are essential for county are not often offered by the city. So we really have to balance in how to assure that the public still gets the services, the essential services that they need, and still maintain safety.
When you say staying in the science, does that focus right now on the number of cases? And that would include not only people testing positive, but the number of deaths? And that in the event there is this spike because of any backlog in processing, that a stay-at-home order is a tool you have in your tool belt right now?
That is absolutely correct. It is something that we actually have prepared in the event that we are in agreement with the county overall to move forward with that. That is a directive that has been discussed, and like I said, we are prepared to do. We are looking at the science in that we look at how the community transmission has occurred thus far. And so a lot of the majority of the cases in our community, while we do have community transmission, has been related to travel and is also the high-risk population, as I mentioned before, of greater than 65 with other health conditions.
Okay. Again, I appreciate that clarification. I think it's important for everybody who's trying to understand this in detail. And again, San Joaquin County today with 14 positive COVID-19 cases and two deaths being reported. Thank you again, Zeanna Blackwell Rodriguez. I'm so glad that you could join us.
Thank you.
So we are going to shift gears right now because grocery stores in some places are beginning to designate senior shopping time. You might want to ask your store if this is available. and keeping the store shelves stocked is important. You heard Stockton's mayor saying there is enough food, there is enough toilet paper. So I'm happy that on the phone right now we have the president of the California Grocers Association, Ronald Fong. And Mr. Fong, thanks for making time to talk with us on Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you for having me.
Would you describe the number of grocers you represent in California, and what's your sense of how many stores are open right now?
Our membership includes approximately 250 grocery stores, large chains, medium chains, and small independents as well. So we represent a good majority of the retail grocery stores in California.
What would you say the COVID-19 impact has been? And it's quite become a cultural phenomenon to see the rush of shoppers. Would you give me the picture from your view?
Yes, obviously the COVID-19 crisis has changed the shopping patterns, to say the least, of many of our customers. There seems to be an unnecessary mind frame from some of our customers to overbuy or to stock up. In fact, it's almost like a bunker mentality that you may need to buy as much food as humanly possible and to bunker down for as long as we are trying to live under the shelter-in-place initiatives that are going around the state.
So what do you think people should be doing right now? How should they be shopping?
They should be shopping a normal pattern. If your pattern is to buy for your family for a week or a little bit of a week, I would stick with that pattern. There is really no need to buy for 3 months and to have toilet paper for the next 3 months, because what you're really doing by those shopping patterns and extending that time frame is that you are not leaving enough products and supplies for other people that need it. In particular, the governor has addressed the vulnerable customers that we have and those that are 65 and older. I think it's really important that customer base is vulnerable. They're not able to get to the store as quickly and as often as other customers, and we need to have product to be able to deliver to them.
I know some stores are now limiting the amounts of certain items. How widely practiced is that listing right now?
That is widely practiced, and it is a direct result of people hoarding or overbuying. In the beginning, we had people walking out with cartfuls of toilet paper, in fact, stocking up, as I described earlier, for 3 months at a time. Totally unnecessary, and that is the main reason why our retailers are now having to limit some of the more popular items.
But people went into stores and saw empty spaces where there should have been toilet paper or paper towels or hand sanitizers. It looked like a shortage.
Yeah, that's the direct result of overbuying. So I will say that overall, the supply chain is intact. We have plenty of product, toilet paper, general merchandise, food. The supply chain is plentiful and safe. However, we cannot keep up with this shopping pattern of customers. The delivery process is obviously compromised at this time. Your average grocery store gets a load of groceries every night. They usually stock it overnight, and it's ready to go for the next day. With the overbuying situations, our stores are facing two or three loads per day, and it is impossible to keep up with that delivery mechanism from manufacturer to warehouse, from warehouse to grocery stores.
Okay, so does that mean that there are a lot of jobs open at grocery stores across the state, and food service workers or rideshare drivers who may be out of work would be able to temporarily find a job at a store?
The answer to that is yes, and thank you for reminding me to address the grocery store employees. They are our crown jewels right now because they have been willing to work double shifts, overtime, many days in a row to react to this new buying situation. To run a grocery store, there are a lot of bodies that are needed to make that happen, and our employees and grocery stores are doing the best that they can. However, we do have limits. We have, labor restrictions that stop employees from working too many days in a row. They need their appropriate rest and time. Therein lies an opening for more jobs to come around. If you go to any of your grocery store websites, you will see a plethora of open jobs. Some jobs are so available that people are hiring on the spot or within the week. And I would just encourage folks to go to the website of their favorite grocery store and look at the many jobs available. I was talking to my very good friend and colleague, Jot Condi, at the Restaurant Association.
We spoke to him yesterday, yes.
Yes, and there is a shift and an availability as restaurants close for in-house dining. There is a shift in job opening over to the grocery side if that is something that appeals to folks.
Okay, one more question, and you have been gracious with your time today, Mr. Fong. Produce. We had a listener tip about picking produce by putting your hand in a plastic bag and grabbing your produce, and then it's already bagged, and that's really a bit of brilliance in terms of shoppers. But there's a lot of concern about produce being out and whether it needs to be washed after we buy it. Can you give me the hints from the grocer's perspective?
I think that's a brilliant solution, just to sort of use the plastic bags that are provided for you in your produce department and use that in essence as a mini glove and reverse the bag that is used afterwards. I would just appeal to our customers to use their common sense and to use these bags. Definitely wash your produce when you get home like you normally will do, and I think practicing daily commonsensical hygiene is the way to go.
All right. You're in demand. I hear the phone ringing, so go ahead and get it. Thanks
that.
For talking with us. That's
all right,
okay.
Beth. Thank you for having me.
That's the president of the California Grocers Association, Ronald Fong. We're going to skip up the mountain to Tahoe City. Alex Hunt is on the phone right now, and Alex is the co-owner of Mountain Slice Cafe and Creamery. Hi, Alex. How is it in Tahoe City today?
It's actually snowing, Beth. It's nice.
It's kind of heartbreaking for everybody like me who loves winter and loves the ski season up there, and all this snow just fell, but the resorts are closed. How are you doing with your pizza, cafe, and coffee business?
You know, that seems to be the irony right now, where we have all this snow falling, and then, like you just said, with the resorts closing, you know, because we are a tourist-driven town here in Tahoe City, a lot of our tourism and people driven here into town is through the resorts. And with that closing coupled with COVID-19, you know, a lot of the businesses here are definitely feeling the effects, and we're all trying to figure out the next steps as to how we can kind of make our restaurants still viable in this time.
How much of a buffer do you have? You're a small business in a small resort town. Have you targeted it on the calendar yet?
Well, I'd like to emphasize small business to the max here. We're an 850 square foot restaurant here with very limited seating. You know, most of our traffic is by foot here on the streets, and a lot of it is word of mouth to the tourists that are here in town by locals. And because we don't have any of that, it's, you know, it is hard. And so right now, our town specifically is kind of limited as far as the delivery services goes. And so this is kind of a good time for a lot of the businesses here to explore that delivery option. And so with us being a pizza place and delivery being typically the mode of transportation for the pizza, for us, we don't do delivery. We're a takeout and an eat-in facility only. But now with the limitation on having people come into the restaurant, eating here in the restaurant specifically, we're really trying to ramp up that side of things. And with that said, we're trying to stay viable with that, and, you know, we could probably go for another, you know, month or two if things don't pick up, if the delivery doesn't take off, and hopefully, you know, with that said, it will. We're trying to really just help the community out with trying to mitigate the spread of the virus by still being able to provide a service and a good product to people, and that's really the catch-22 that we're having right now as a business.
Yeah, because the human mission almost supersedes in, by every angle, the business mission at this point, right?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, you wanna provide a service, especially to, you know, the elderly population that we do have up here that may be nervous to going out and getting food for themselves. We want to be able to, if they need, go and provide, you know, food for them in that regard. But it's also, at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not exposing yourself. And with us being a new business, you know, we've only been around for 3 years. And with that said, we've had employees that have been with us for 2 out of those 3 years. And we want to make sure that we take care of them, and they're being able to bring some sort of paycheck in for themselves and being able to support themselves while the season is slow and while we're not bringing in the typical business that we would be bringing in.
Okay, Alex, let's finish this by having you describe more specifically, where is Mountain Slice Cafe and Creamery in Tahoe City?
So Mountain Slice Cafe and Creamery in Tahoe City, we are right next to the lake here on Lakeside, right in the heart of downtown Tahoe City. We share a building with Tahoe City Sushi. You can see us. We've got a big ice cream cone on our balcony right there. With a little shop under the stairs. You can find us. We'll come on in. We'll take care of you guys. We are doing only takeout and pickup only, and we are starting to do delivery today. So give us a call, and we'll make sure that we take care of it. Whoever
okay. Does. Good luck. Hang in there. I hope you can get through it all, Alex. So great to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate the time. Everybody stay safe.
All right, you too. That is Alex Hunt from Tahoe City. We're going to take a quick break. Stavonte Clark is on the phone, and we'll talk with him next. This is Insight on Cap Radio.